My name's Josh. If you don't know me, I'm one of the ministers here. I want to talk about instant regrets. Does anyone suffer from instant regrets, or is it just me? Like maybe in your weaker moments, you send a text to someone about someone, but you accidentally send it to the person you're talking about. Instant regret. And you stare at that screen, you think, oh gosh, how do you delete a message that's been sent? You can't, by the way. And you just wish that those 30 seconds, you could just go back and just not send it because there's a whole lot of trouble coming your way because of what you've said about that person to that person. Or maybe you have not just instant regret, but let's put a bit more long-term regret. Like any time I go to the dentist, and I'm sitting there with my mouth open, and the dentist doesn't even really use words, but I can kind of get the vibe. They use noises like, And then they ask me the question I really hoped they wouldn't ask. So how much soft drink do you drink? What are you talking about? Like maybe at Christmas, maybe. I don't know what you're talking about. And they know, they give me that look, and they know that I'm lying through my cavity-filled teeth. And I think, man, if I could just have a fresh start, like a whole new set of teeth, I'll do it properly this time. All I need is a second chance. We have these days where in a moment or a day or a week, we think, oh, if only I could just restart, if I could have a second chance this time. This time I'll do it right. This happened to me once. And I shared this story at 5, but I actually never have shared it before. So because you're getting it the second time, I'll add some information that I didn't add at 5. Ooh. So this was the interview for my job here at St. Paul's. Now, I'd already spoken to Shane. I'd had an interview with Shane, who was the young adults guy. And then I'd had a second interview with Keith, and he passed me. Just. And then the third and final interview was going to be with John and Shane. Now, Shane was trying to get an idea of is this going to happen? Like, what's the likelihood? Because Shane wanted me in the position, young adults minister here. And so he was batting in my corner. He was telling John, man, this is the guy. Like, you have to trust me on this. This is the guy. We've got to get him on the team. So Shane's doing this, and he wanted to get a gauge of how likely this was to happen. All he needed was John's tick of approval, and we're good to go. And Shane asked him, how close are we? Is he going to get the job? And John said to him, he would have to lean over the table at this interview and punch me in the face for this not to happen. As in, it was going to happen. That's a joke, by the way. It's like, oh, what? So it was a done deal. All I had to do was go to this interview, sign the papers, and I was good to go. The interview was at 7 a.m. I didn't plan that. 7 a.m. at Air Coffee. Day of the interview, ready to sign the papers. I get a call at 7:20, waking me up. Oh my gosh. Where am I? What have I done? It was Shane. He said, where are you? Sorry? or something? I had slept through my alarm. Supposed to get there at 7, a done deal. It was 7:20 and it woke me up and I had missed the interview. Facepalm moment. What have I done? Like, it was a done deal. He would have to punch me in the face for this not to happen. And suddenly I haven't even shown up for the punch to happen. The whole day, can I just start this one again? God, do whatever you need to do. Bend time just to start this day again. One of the biggest regrets of my life. But you have those days and you have those moments where you think, I just need a second chance. I just want a second chance. See, what we don't want is justice. We do not want justice in these times. Because what is justice? Well, justice is this. Do the crime, do the time. It's fair. That is justice. But that is not what we want. What we want is forgiveness. Forgiveness is something like this. Do the crime, someone else does the time. Someone else puts themselves out. They pay for whatever it is that's broken the relationship. And they reconcile you to them. Now, why do we want forgiveness rather than justice in these circumstances? Well, if you've ever received forgiveness from someone, you know the feeling of relief. You can breathe easy again. There's joy. You get a second chance. You've got a second shot. And this time you're going to do it right. The relationship is mended with that person and you've received something you actually didn't deserve. So you're probably wondering what happened. Well, John was gracious enough to make another meeting with me at the very end of the day. So the whole day I was in that moment. Can we just start this day again? He forgave me. He said, let's put this behind us and I'll never bring it up again. And he offered me the job. You have those moments where you think, I just want a second chance. When we've made a mistake, we want forgiveness. We need forgiveness. So what about when the wrong thing is done to us? Do we want the same thing? Like when someone cuts you off in traffic. Are you looking for forgiveness or justice? When your sibling blames you for the broken window, but it was them. Do you want justice or do you want forgiveness? See, we want forgiveness for ourselves, but man, do we want justice for other people? So we live in this tension between wanting justice, but also wanting forgiveness. This is how our society works. Like we have a moral standard, which is the law. And if you break the law, you suffer the consequences. Do the time, do the crime, do the time. And it's like the story we heard tonight about Jesus on the cross. And he has this interesting conversation with the two criminals that are being executed either side of him. See, the criminals are in the exact same situation. They've done something. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what they've done, but we know that execution by crucifixion was saved for the worst of the worst. And so the story is this. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals. One on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, see, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So these criminals were getting what they deserved. Justice has been served. And we want justice for people who have done the wrong thing. But when we hear Jesus' words to the second criminal, that resonates with us. Because Jesus forgives him. We want forgiveness because we know the power of receiving forgiveness. Even for this guy, the worst of the worst, Jesus says to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus forgives the man who's justly put on the cross for his crimes. And there's part of us that thinks, wow, imagine a forgiveness that powerful. Imagine that kind of forgiveness is even available. We live in a tension between wanting justice and wanting forgiveness, a second chance. And I want to ask a simple question tonight. When it comes to God, which one do you want? Do you want justice or do you want forgiveness? Now, some of you might think, well, actually, I want justice because I'm a pretty good person. Like, compared to the criminals on the cross, like, I'm from the Hills District. I'm from the Northwest. I am a refined human being. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, oh, here we go. Well, here's where he tells me that I'm as bad as the guy on the cross and I'm as bad as the murderer. Well, no, compared to this guy, you're probably very lovely. But what's the line? How good do we have to be okay with God? To get justice from him would actually be a good thing. How good do we have to be? Well, a guy in the Bible asked this very question to Jesus, and this is what he said. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's basically saying, how good do I have to be? Then Jesus says, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? The man said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly." "Answered correctly, you have," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." How good do we have to be? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's a problem. No one can keep that. I'll be the first to admit I've stuffed up once. Maybe twice. I haven't loved God with everything. And I don't love everyone. In fact, sometimes there are people I don't like. It's impossible to keep this. That's the problem. God's standards are so high. And maybe thinking, yeah, well, this is the reason why I don't like Christianity. Because God's just up there with his power drip yelling, "Love me or die." But look at this again. Let's take the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. What would it look like to love your neighbor as you love yourself? Well, how do you love yourself? You feed yourself. You clothe yourself. You make yourself laugh. You put Band-Aids on yourself when you have a boo-boo. You take care of yourself because you want the best for yourself. So imagine treating someone even better than you treat yourself. Imagine if your neighbor loved you like that, that they made sure you were never in need, that you always had enough food, that you always had enough emotional support. If they saw that your lawn needed mowing, they would mow it. If my neighbor is here, please love me. I don't actually own a lawnmower. But do you see that if we all followed these commands, the world would be a beautiful place because every one of us will look out for every one of us. This is the world that I want to live in. This is a world that you want to live in. And this is the world that God wants us to live in, which is why he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But as much as we want it, we do a little quick test on ourselves and we've already failed multiple times today. I sent that text to my friend. It was pretty harsh. I was a little bit short with mum this morning. She didn't deserve what I said. I walked past a homeless person in the city and I justified to myself why I shouldn't buy them a meal or help them out. I scrolled past that GoFundMe page for the family I know needs help right now because I'd rather spend that $20 on myself. I know that God wants me to forgive that person and make things right, but they should have known better. This will teach them a lesson. See, when it comes to God, we do not want justice because what we deserve is an eternity without him. Death. We actually need forgiveness. We need a second chance. But we actually need more than just a second chance because have you ever made that deal with God? We like, God, get me out of this situation and I promise I'll never do it again. And he gets you out of the situation. What do? You do it again. It's more than just a second chance that we need. The guy on the cross with Jesus, he didn't need a second chance. He was about to die. A second chance wasn't going to help him. So what would it look like to be truly forgiven? I'm going to invite the band up. And there's something that you might have been wondering ever since you walked in tonight. What's with the yellow ribbon? What is with this yellow ribbon that you've got and that you see on the stage right now? Every year, we take a bunch of young adults to Fiji for a short mission trip, a couple of weeks in Fiji. And 2 years ago, we went and we're in the city and walking around the city, we saw these big yellow ribbons everywhere, on trees, on buildings. And I thought, I wonder what that means. Like I know that for us, the pink one is for the breast cancer. But I was like, what does the yellow one mean? Then we got an opportunity to go into a Fijian prison. Now, I'd never been to a prison before. I didn't really know what to expect. And we walked in and we got to have a little tour around. We got to meet the main guy that in charge and he had like a little chart of who was in there and what they'd done. Just a little tally, you know, this many assaults, this many people who have stolen and worse. And then we had a tour around this prison. And we met some of the guards and I noticed that one of the guards had this little yellow ribbon on. And then I actually noticed that actually all of the guards have this yellow ribbon on. And I said to him, we've seen these all around the city. What does it mean? And he said, it means second chance. He said, the men and the women that are in this prison, they've made a mistake in their life. They've done something wrong. And they're in here to pay the penalty for whatever they've done. And what we want to do is to rehabilitate them so they can go back into the community. This isn't about separating them from the community and keeping them confined. This was about helping them to get back into the community. And so he says this symbol stands for second chance because we want them to know and we want our community to know that once that person has paid the penalty, once their time is up, once they walk outside of these prison gates, they've got a second chance. And this symbol symbolizes that they're not walking out as criminals. They're not even walking out as ex-criminals. They are back in the family. That is what this ribbon symbolizes. He said, we do 80% of the rehabilitation here in the prison. The last 20% is up to the community. It's up to their family. It's up to their village. Now that is amazing that they can see that it's not just about containing these people who have made a mistake. But it's about paying a penalty and then walking free back into the community, back where they can serve their community. They get a second chance. But with us, it's even more. Friends, Jesus does 100% of the work when he's on that cross and he pays for the sins of the whole world. See, spiritually, we were prisoners. And by our own strength, we cannot get freedom. But Jesus paid the price for us. He paid the penalty which we deserved. He bought you with the price. This, it says it in 1 Corinthians. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Which is amazing because you think of the times that you've received forgiveness or you've given forgiveness. Why do you think that is? Well, it's because that person was worth a second chance. That person was worth paying whatever cost it was to have reconciliation with you. And so Jesus saw us as worth it to die for, to pay that penalty. He pays for every sin we've ever done, every sin we will ever do, that so we no longer walk around as sinners or even ex-sinners. We are called saints. And the incredible thing is that God no longer holds these things against us. Because we've all received what I like to call short-term forgiveness, right? You've had someone forgive you and then bring it back up later on. That's not forgiveness. God doesn't just forgive us in the short term. In fact, this is what it says in Hebrews 8. For I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. He doesn't forget, but he chooses not to hold these sins against us. Hold these mistakes that we have made or will make against us. And that is true forgiveness. So I want to ask you that question again tonight. What do you want from God? Do you want justice or do you want forgiveness? I wonder if you're here and you know that you've made mistakes. There's days that you wish you could repeat again. There's things that you wish you could take back, relationships that have been broken because of things that have been said or done, and you wish that it could just go back to how things were before. See, tonight, God doesn't just want to inform your mind. He wants to transform your heart. It's not about knowing this concept of amazing forgiveness. It's about receiving it. And God wants to give you new life. It's not just a second chance. He says it's done. Jesus has bought your forgiveness. He's paid the price. And it's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a relationship with God, the God who created you, who knows you inside out. He knows your joy. He knows your pain. He knows the desires of your heart. Right now, I want to invite you to stand to your feet. And as you stand, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. Because I want to give people an opportunity to respond and to say yes to Jesus tonight. So with every eye closed, if you're here and you know things haven't been right with God, or maybe you've never made things right with God, there's no reason to wait. Come today. If you've ever experienced forgiveness before, you know the feeling of relief, that weight off your shoulders, the joy that you experience, overwhelmed with gratitude that you're back in relationship with that person. Well, friends, tonight is a night where you can experience that forgiveness. And all you have to do is ask. So right now, with every eyes closed, I want to invite you to receive that forgiveness from God. If you want to say yes to Jesus tonight and receive forgiveness, I simply want you to put your hand up because I'm going to pray for you. So do that right now. Once it's up, you can put it back down. if you want to leave this place no longer a sinner or even an ex-sinner, but completely forgiven and a saint in God's eyes, I'll give you another opportunity. Put your hand up right now so I can pray for you. I want to remind you that God loves you. Jesus forgives you. You are forgiven. You can open your eyes now. And I want to say for everyone who put up their hand, that's a bold move. Man, that guy on the cross made a bold move. Did you notice that every other single person was against Jesus? But he decided to speak up. So if you put your hand up, there's a bold move, and God is going to honor that. I want to say for even those who really wanted to put your hand up, but you didn't, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer as well. So we're all going to pray this prayer together. It's a simple prayer. And this is simply saying yes to Jesus. So let's all pray this together. God, I'm sorry for the times I rejected you. Thank you for forgiving me through Jesus. From now on, I am yours. Amen. Can we give those people a clap who put their hand up and prayed that prayer? It is seriously worth celebrating when someone's life is completely transformed because of Jesus' forgiveness. And for those who put your hand up, for those who prayed that prayer, you leave here tonight fully reconciled with God. Fully reconciled with God. See, this ribbon was a reminder to the Fijians that there's actually no such thing as an ex-criminal. Only someone who's now back part of the family. So as we wear these out the door and people are like, what is that? This is a reminder to you that you walk out of here not an ex-sinner, but a saint in Christ Jesus. So let's celebrate and sing that song together.